can make a difference. BBC
Radio Kent. Morning, 8:05. It's the Wake Up Call with Anna on BBC Radio Kent. And we're asking, what impact could a new Thames crossing have for Kent? Does the benefits outweigh the environmental cons? We will discuss. MPs vote as well to slash foreign aid, and with many Kent MPs and former prime ministers calling this a mistake, how do you feel? Plus, we're gearing up for the golf. Tomorrow, we are live from the British Open in Sandwich. We'll look at one of the first major sports events in Kent since this pandemic.
The Wake Up Call with Anna Cookson. BBC.
I'll also tell you about the very latest bathroom trend, which may surprise you, but it could be a DIY project, I suppose, for your weekend. Right, let's start then, shall we, with the Lower Thames Crossing. A new consultation on it has started today, and they want to talk about things like changes to traffic, air quality, noise, the impact of it on the environment and landscape. So if you live in the area, it's your chance to say how you feel, to look at the new proposals and see if they address any concerns that you have. Now, the route would pass beneath the River Thames, with its southern entrance located to the east of the village of Chalk, and then it goes across to Essex. So our reporter Jo Byrne is in Chalk this morning. And Jo, is it fair to say that is the area here in Kent that will see the biggest impact, probably?
Yeah, just about. I'm just down the lane from the parish church of St Mary's at Chalk, actually. It overlooks the Thames and over to Tilbury. It's on the edge of Gravesend. It took me around 4 minutes to get off the A2M2 this morning. It's clouded over a bit. You may hear more traffic noise now from the nearby Rochester Road, but it's still open land and popular with walkers. And in fact, I've just had somebody jog by and pass a fox wandering the other way up the lane. So you can tell just how rural this area is. But it's over and under these surrounding fields that Highways England suggest building a tunnel, which they say will be the greatest investment in our roads infrastructure for a generation. And they say it will create 22,000 jobs in construction and will carry up to 4.5 million goods vehicles in its first year. But all that means that it will see 14.3 miles of roads built through these fields, two entrances to 2.6 miles of tunnel carrying four lanes of traffic, and they'll dive under the water in front of me and emerge under the East Tilbury marshes. It will be a giant feat of engineering, the third widest bored tunnel in the world, and there'll be around 50 bridges linking it to the A2M2 here in Kent, and of course the A13 over the Thames and the M25.
Interesting stuff. And there is now then a new consultation, isn't there, to really highlight local issues?
Yeah, I was at the consultations last February, actually, just before lockdown. I talked to people there. But also this morning, earlier on, I met Marion. She was walking her dog. She's lived here for 41 years. And it's the construction which concerns her the most, Anna.
You know, I'm from Gravesend. I've got two very young children. They're going to inherit this congestion, these problems. And you look at the problems they've got at Dartford in terms of air pollution, in terms of congestion, at not just their junctions, you try and cross that now. We're effectively leaving a legacy for my two little children that if they wish to remain in Gravesend, they're going to inherit this air pollution and this congestion. We shouldn't be leaving that next generation with that level of problem.
Unfortunately, we bought our forever home at 60, been there 10 years. So by the time it's probably finished and we get a chance to go for compensation, we could be 80. And we've got to live through all that beforehand.
My daughter lives in Norfolk, so I want the tunnel because it will make it easier to get north of the river. My son lives right near where the entrance is going to be, so I'm completely torn as to what is best.
So yes, this new consultation will take those views on board and promises two new parks which would be created with the tunnel spoils, removing the need for up to 470,000 lorry movements to take it away elsewhere. And it also promises to almost double the road capacity between Kent, Thurrock and Essex and ease that congestion that all of us have sat in at the Dartford Crossing, thus improving the air quality there by diverting up to 30 million vehicles away. But You've got to remember that this was first talked about way back in 2009, 12 years ago. And even if it goes through, work won't start for another 3 years, with the first cars making that journey under the Thames in about 2029-30 at the earliest. And that is a long time for local people like those we heard from to have speculated, to have worried, to express their views, and they could still have up to 6 years of build yet to come.
And of course, this new consultation then, it began at midnight. What happens now? What happens next?
Well, we heard a bit about the passion about this project earlier, didn't we, when we heard
yes.
from the local campaign group. They were up there at midnight wading through this document. They want to know what the changes are. They want to know whether Highways England have listened. And today they are offering a new interactive map and a website, three fly-throughs. You can watch that showing before, during and after construction. And then from next week, fingers crossed, they will be once again offering face-to-face consultations, starting at the Cascades Leisure Centre, just over the fields there, on the 22nd, and ending with Chalk in early August. But what Highways England say is that they've listened before and they will listen again. Just make sure that you have your say, Anna.
Fantastic. Listen, Jo, thank you for bringing us right up to date this morning. That's Jo Byrne then, who's in the village of Chalk for us this morning. Let's turn now to Matt Palmer, who is from Highways England. Matt, brilliant that you're here this morning, because many people have been asking me questions. So let's kick off straight away. A lot of people are saying, well, do we really need this post-pandemic? If more people are going to be working from home, we don't yet know what the traffic flows are going to look like.
Anna, good morning. Thank you for having me on this morning.
Pleasure.
Yes, a really good question. As you say, everyone's feeling that traffic has changed during the pandemic. The reality, of course, on Dartford and the crossing itself is running at the same levels of pre-pandemic as post-pandemic. Actually, what we've seen is an increase in goods vehicles going across Dartford in the last few months. So the traffic needing to cross from Essex and into Kent and vice versa is as strong as ever, and we can only see it going up. So the reality is what this route does is provide a really viable, safe, environmentally constructed route between the two, and that will relieve Dartford and open up Kent to better access to the north.
I certainly understand the principle of relieving Dartford, but I don't know whether you heard, I spoke to Laura Blake, chair of the Thames Crossing Action Group, earlier on, and she said to me that actually this new crossing won't alleviate the traffic. And I wonder, have you got the numbers that we can crunch on that?
So, absolutely. I mean, what happens when we open it is we double the road capacity between Kent and Essex. And in the first years of that, what you see is a significant drop in traffic going over Dartford that then moves onto the Lower Thames Crossing. And that doubling is where the relief comes from. We do have the consultation contains the numbers, and we're more than happy to share them in detail with anyone.
Isn't there a worry, though, that more people will jump in their cars because it's easier? And surely at the moment, with environmental concerns, we should really be thinking about public transport.
It's a balance. It's a complete balance. The reality is going forward and with sort of, the government's net zero goals of 2050. There needs to be a balance, but the strategic road network feeds our country. The reality is a third of everything crossing Dartford at the moment is food. About another 10% or 20% is sort of your parcels, your just-in-time deliveries from online retailers, etc. And that is what the strategic road network supports. The sort of choice about whether you make a car journey or not, it remains a choice. But overall, the strategic road network, which is part of, it's keeping the lifeblood of the country going. And I suppose the other thing to say is, of course, on your news, you rightly reported that government today is starting to announce further carbon measures about transport, which actually means that car traffic already by 2030 will not be using internal combustion engines, and later HGVs. All of that means that environmentally, this from an air quality perspective and from a carbon perspective, roads are becoming greener.
Yes, they are becoming greener, but we've a long way to go. And you're going to have to convince my listeners this morning, Matt, about the environmental concerns. As you can imagine, many people are very, very worried. We've got this beautiful area and there's going to be a road right through it.
I completely agree. Biodiversity and the environment is critical for us in the UK. We're a small nation and another road is a difficult thing to put through. What we've done, though, is over the last 4 years, we've done a number of consultations, we've taken on feedback, we've adjusted the route to make it the most environmentally sensitive route that we can get. In Kent alone, we adjusted the route to avoid ancient woodland. We've also extended the tunnel to avoid the marshland and to not cut off communities. So what we've done is our best to get the route right. And then once we've got the route, we're then looking at the sort of mitigation. So on the Kent end at Thong Lane, near where Joe stood, we've put over a green bridge, which is 80 metres wide, allows biodiversity, trees, etc., to go across the top of the road. So invertebrates, animals through to horses can cross safely. And then more importantly, we've also then looked at overall biodiversity and brought forward a number of biodiversity mitigations. So in Kent alone, we've got approximately 122 hectares of semi-natural habitats that we're going to bring forward. And as Joe mentioned, we're also bringing forward a chalk park, I think is probably where she stood actually at the moment, which overlooks the Thames estuary, you know, that will be an area for public amenity and biodiversity.
Okay, listen, Matt, I have many more questions than we have time this morning, I'm afraid, but I know this is an ongoing consultation. Would you be so good as to say you'll come back on again and talk about this in the not too distant future?
Of course. Yeah, we've got 19 different events over the next 8 weeks for people to come and get involved physically. Our consultations online, as everyone's saying, and there's another sort of telephone calls and webinars if people don't want to come and see us personally. So more than happy to talk to anybody at the events or come back on this radio.
Good stuff. Call. Thank you. Listen, Matt, for now, that's really good of you to talk to us, and we'll talk to you again soon. That's Matt Palmer, Executive Director for the Lower Thames Crossing. Listening to that is John Burden, leader of Gravesham Borough Council. John, thank you as well for being here. And I wonder what you've made about those concerns we were addressing there with Matt about the environment and biodiversity. Convinced?
Morning, Anna.
Morning.
I'm not convinced, unfortunately. I was interested to hear Matt explain that he's happy to give everybody the details on the highway numbers, for example.
Yeah.
My officers are telling me that we're not going to be given that technical detail till August or September, and yet consultations open now. So we are not in a position to respond to the highways arguments that are being put forward for the scheme. We know that there's going to be four lanes both ways, slip roads either side. So you're looking at about 10 lanes cutting through areas of outstanding natural beauty. And on the environmental issue that was outlined there, we're being told that they can't make good the damage. So what they're looking to do is offset the damage. Now, the initial contact that I had from Matt was that they're going to put a forest or a woodland in Essex. That does not help the people of North Kent. So now we're talking about a potential wood or forest in chalk, but that's going to be on top of a chalk mound they're going to begin digging out for years to come.
What about, you know,
what
about the overarching principle that Matt was talking about? You know, this will take traffic away from the Dartford crossing. So ultimately, it's going to make everything run smoother. And of course, if cars aren't sitting in jams, they're giving off less emissions.
I think obviously less emissions will come from the change to electric vehicles, cars and hydrogen in those vehicles anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I think on the issue of less traffic, Matt is working for a particular department in the Transport Division of London and of the UK, but it's the Highways Department. And I think that's the word that we need to remember. This is about highway solutions. It's not about transport solution. The problem we're trying to address is the lorries that are on our roads that are now going to be put onto the Lower Thames Crossing instead of going over the bridge at Dartford. What we should be looking at is other forms of transport. How do we use the river? How do we use the coastal line we've got to move freight around the country more efficiently, in more bulk, so actually get it to the locations it needs to be? How do we coordinate the movement of our vehicles and traffic? And we've got this fabulous rail network in the country. Why aren't we using that more? That's all part of the transport infrastructure that we should be looking for these solutions, not just the highways.
What about people in Gravesham benefiting, jobs, of course, you know, and getting to employment more easily?
Getting to employment, we've got a lot of employment opportunities coming into Gravesham at the moment. We're working on that very hard as a local authority. But I think it's not been demonstrated how this road connection will benefit the local residents. We've not seen the highways implication behind it, where they can even get onto it in a sort of sensible manner locally. That hasn't been provided. There is no evidence so far of how jobs locally will be created on the back of this construction. Who are the local firms getting the work? How are they going to tender for it? As I understand it, it's going mainly to the big national firms. Are they being made to employ local people? where's the evidence of it? There isn't anything at the moment. We're being told that there will be employment training facilities set up, but they're talking about using people in Maidstone, Ack and Canterbury and beyond to give local training. Well, it's not training to our local people to get local jobs. So I'm still confused as to where this local economic benefit is. And okay. In a presentation to all our members 6 months back, it was confirmed that they couldn't themselves identify where the local employment benefit was for the residents of Gresham.
All right.
That question needs to be answered.
It is, of course, just the beginning of this consultation period, and Matt has promised to keep us in the loop throughout. So we will be examining it at great length as we go forward. Listen, John, thank you for your time this morning. We'll talk to you again soon as well. That's John Burden, leader of Gravesham Borough Council. So you've heard from him. You've heard from the executive director for the Lower Thames Crossing. Over to you now. How are you feeling about it? Could it be a boon for Kent? Is it what you want going forward? If you're in the area particularly, you know, how are you feeling about it? If you've looked at the detail which came out, of course, at midnight tonight, does it make sense to you? We're hearing a lot of acronyms and, a lot of technical language being used as well. So we'll continue to discuss that throughout the course of the morning. But first, back to foreign.